readings from the Testaments. The first one is 2 Chronicles 20. And I'm reading from the New International Version. Jehoshaphat defeats Moab and Ammon. This is verse 20 to chapter 20, 1 through 22. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with some of the Munites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It's already in Hazan-Tamar, that is in El-Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The New Testament reading is Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Let us pray. Gracious God, we want to sing a new song to you this morning and always and through this year. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So when I was 13 years old, many of you know this, my sister died in an accident. And through those first several months in particular, often I would break out in tears. The emotion would overcome me, and there was nothing I could do but cry. And in those moments, I would run to my room, and I would pull out my Walkman, it dates me perhaps, and I would play the song Yesterday. Not by the Beatles. In fact, it was many years before I realized it was originally a Beatles song. But by Boyz II Men, who were my favorite group at the time. They had beautiful four-part harmonies. And I would listen to the song on repeat over and over. Some of the song starts, yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it seems as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Not exactly the most uplifting song. And yet, as I would sing it over and over again in my room, I would start to feel better. I would feel the tears would stop, I would calm down, and I could go back to doing what I was doing. It was something about that song for me that soothed my soul in the moment. And that is something about the wonder of music. Last week we talked about how music is something we can use to celebrate when we are triumphant, but it is also something that we can turn to when life is hard, when things are difficult, and we don't know what else to do. We heard in our scripture this morning that Sharon read three different songs that were all written in different situations of difficulty through the life of the church. And the first one we heard is Psalm 22. And you may have recognized the first verse, my God, why have you forsaken me? We often hear it as Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, the words of Jesus on the cross. But before they were the words of Jesus on the cross, they were the words of King David when he was surrounded by his enemies, when he looked around and as far as he could see, there was no way out. Jesus' disciples probably felt the same way as they saw him on the cross. Maybe they thought that's what Jesus thought too, as he repeated those words of King David. And in this psalm, David is honest. And this is important because sometimes we think we need to hide things from God, right? We need to pretend that everything's okay, that God can't take our deepest sorrows or our accusations. But David never felt that way, and you see it through the Psalms, and certainly in Psalm 22, right? He says, God, where have you gone? Why have you left me alone? Look at this life. My enemies are all around me. Where did you go? But he doesn't stop there, right? He remembers that God is faithful. He says, and yet I remember that you were with me from the time I was with my mother. He remembers what God has done. And he anticipates that God will answer him. And so what's beautiful about Psalm 22, and I think the reason why Jesus uses the first verse of it when he is on the cross, is because Psalm 22 turns into a psalm of celebration. Did you feel a little bit of dissonance between the words we were saying and the verse we were singing? Right? The words we were saying were all about, where is God? God has left us. And yet our refrain was a refrain of celebration. The congregation will worship God. And that's not by mistake. If you read the second half of Psalm 22, that's what it is. It's a psalm of praise. David goes from bearing his soul to God, to feeling abandoned, to worshiping him. He takes a song of despair that turns into a song of hope. It makes me think of the song we often sing on Good Friday. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Becomes, were you there when he rose up from the grave? And that little chorus in the middle, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Goes from a tremble of fear, a tremble of despair, to a tremble of wonder that God has done these things for us. And we turn to 2 Chronicles and to these stories of these kings. And we hear about this king named Jehoshaphat. And if you don't know his background, he is the great-great-grandson of Solomon, who is the son of David. So we're, what, two, three, four, but six generations from the author of our first psalm. And Jehoshaphat is said to be someone who follows God. He is probably one of the last great priest kings of Israel and Judah. When he finds out he's in trouble, and this is remarkable, and if you've ever known any, most leaders, you will recognize the remarkableness of a king when things are in trouble, going to God first. Instead of trying to solve the problem, getting into a mess, and then going to God as a last resort, which is often what we see in Scripture from all sorts of people. He goes to God, and he brings all of Judah and says, we need to solve this, or we need to get God to solve this problem. We're in trouble. And it says all of Judah comes, and they all fast, and they all pray. And then Jehoshaphat, and there's a passage in the middle that Sharon didn't read, that you're welcome to go back and look at, where Jehoshaphat gives this great big prayer to God, similar to Psalm 22. Where are you, God? We need you. We're in trouble. And God answers and says, I will deliver you. And then where Sharon picked it up, they all go out. And as I said with the kids, instead of going out with weapons, armed for war, they go out singing praises. Right? Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. That is the refrain that they had. And it says that it was when they started singing that God brings them deliverance. They didn't sing in this case as a response to victory. They sang in their fear and in their hope, and God answered. It is community danger in this case, so we see a community solution. It's serious danger, so they give serious commitment to seeking God's answer. And then they follow God's answer when he gives it, however crazy it may sound. It is a song of praise, despite the fear, in the fear, and in the danger. It's a song of community in the face of war. And it is those verses are the root of a song we've sung here forever, right? Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. And it keeps going, right? This is the song that we hear that comes from the Old Testament. Song of praise and a song of community. And then we continue on into Philippians, right? Into this story from Paul. Again, many generations passed when Jehoshaphat was king. And what we hear is, we talked about Philippians in the fall. I did a whole series on it. And we read this passage in brief, we didn't talk about this section. And what this is what we think is one of the earliest Christian hymns, which we may not realize at the time, right? Of course, because we don't hear music in writing. But this wasn't just spoken. The idea was, when Paul wrote these words down, the people who were hearing it aloud, because all of these letters were read aloud in community, like we do every Sunday, that the people probably would have started singing the words along with Paul, right? He hears these words, and he's trying to encourage the Philippians. They're feeling down because Paul is in prison. They're feeling down because they're being persecuted. And Paul wants to encourage them. And so he reminds them how we are called to live. And he sings, or he writes down the words of this beautiful early song that tells the story of Jesus. And it follows this interesting pattern. It starts up here, right, with Jesus, who is God, who gives that up, right? And he lives his life, and he sacrifices his life, and he dies, even death on a cross, so that God would glorify him so that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the shape that we find in this early song. That the very moment when Jesus was on that cross and repeating Psalm 22, when everyone thought all was lost, that was the point. That was the moment where the trajectory changed and everything became full of possibility. Discouragement gives way through Jesus. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. And it continues, right? This song that surrounds Jesus, which we haven't sang in a while, which I was remembering as I do this series. All these songs are coming. I'm like, oh, we haven't done that one in a while. Oh, we should sing this song. Anyway, we put those out and let the Spirit move. But in Christ alone, my hope is found. This is what Paul wants the Philippians to remember. And this is my encouragement for you this morning. Today is a high day. Today is a good day. It's a wonderful day for all we are doing in this church. Not every day is like that. We are not promised a life where all is good and all is easy. We have moments of discouragement, moments of frustration, moments of despair, moments when we feel surrounded by whatever enemies face us, whether it's situations or people at work or school or temptations that we feel like we just can't fight. And one of the ways God gives us to respond to those situations is in song, is in music, is in finding those things that remind us that in Christ alone we can find our light, our strength, our song. Let us pray. God, you are so good. When life is high and we are so excited, you are good. When life is hard and we don't know what's coming next, you are still good. Help us to find our song. Whatever our circumstance, help us to find the hope that is always available in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.